A while back, NPR, National Public Radio, held an interview and talk show with Desmond Tutu, the Archbishop of South Africa. In that, Tutu asserted the following: God is transforming human beings so that we might in turn transform the world. He said that God yearned for us to become part of the Easter mystery that's made known in Jesus' resurrection. For just as Jesus was made known in a new creation through resurrection, so too we are being made new. And it is God's dream for us to become part of a world that's being transformed. Transformed by the way we live our lives. Tutu then invited his listeners to join in a conversation. Particularly, he wanted to focus on God's dream for the world. Well, the skeptics came in hard and fast, quickly telephoning NPR to challenge Tutu. Sure, he was a good man, but surely he was a dreamer. How can those who suffered under apartheid really forgive their former oppressors? Others ask, how long will it take for them to forgive, if they can ever even accomplish that? Tutu answered that one laughing. Laughing. They have forgiven, he said. As if he couldn't understand the caller's naivete and their unwillingness to trust the power of God's forgiveness working through human beings. Now, I dare say how many of us, in honesty, would likewise challenge Desmond Tutu in the same way as those callers. I mean, ask the question. When will peace come to the Middle East? When will Palestinians be able to forgive Israelis and vice versa? When will people of color in this country be able to forgive the white community for their oppression? When will children forgive their parents? When will former friends forgive one another? When will we be able to forgive ourselves for the actions we've done or left undone? But Easter comes, like Tutu, to remind us that we are a new people. Like Lazarus, healed and brought to life by Jesus, we're called forth out of our tomb of brokenness. From all the places that we live in suffering, fear, hurt, and death. We are called forth into the light of day to stand before God and one another. As the cloths bound Lazarus in death and were removed in his healing, so all that binds us is released. And through Easter, we are set free to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. We are a people transformed. We are a people made new. We are a resurrection people. And in this season, we're asked to proclaim and reclaim the power of God's gift of hope and life and forgiveness, of resurrection. This is the season when we are called to dream the dream of God and to raise our voices loud and clear to respond with the acclamation, Alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. So I want to ask a question, and it's a somewhat serious question, one that I don't ask lightly. It's one that I ask not to induce guilt or shame or hesitation even, though that's what many people expect from religion today. I just want to ask a question and see where it leads. The question, when we walk out of this place today, what are we going to do about what we've said and prayed here? Are we really going to practice resurrection? Are we going to leave this place and proclaim with the audacity of a Desmond Tutu that Christ is risen? Are we going to bind ourselves to that proclamation as a sign on our hands? Are we going to fix it as an emblem on our foreheads? Will we write it on the doorposts of our houses and our gates? Because I've got news for you. If we do, there are going to be a lot of people out there that don't even think we're naivete. They're going to think we're stark, raving, absolutely mad. Think about it. I mean, picture it, if you will. Or picture how it would be for you. Or picture how it would be for me. Walking out of the door, hopping into my car, tooling down to Starbucks, strolling in the door, and shouting, "Hey, everybody, hallelujah, Christ is risen." Picture me doing that down the street in Old Orchard, or through the hallways of the Galleria. Or picture me doing that at Starbucks. Or heck, I'd probably be hauled off to the loony bin for shouting it downtown in the diocesan center. People would take one look at me, hear those words, and know for sure that I was crazy. But the really crazy thing is if any of us here had encountered an old friend, an old companion who was dead and buried, we saw it ourselves, and suddenly was alive again? If any of us were to experience what we heard of the experience of Peter by the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, if any of us were to experience what Paul experienced on the road to Damascus, there would be absolutely nothing on God's green earth that could keep our mouths shut. We'd want to go on every talk show imaginable. Between Morning Joe and Oprah Winfrey, I think we'd even have the top talk shows sewn up. And that's what we're really trying to get at this morning. I'm suggesting at the core of our faith is a single proclamation. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Every time we come to this place, every time we gather as the body of Christ, as Christ is present in Emmanuel Episcopal Church, that's the purpose of our gathering, to proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection. Every time we leave this place, that's exactly what we're to do. We proclaim by word and example and action the risen Lord. For as Desmond Tutu reminds us, just as Jesus was made new in a creation of resurrection, so we are being made new as well. And it is God's dream for us to become part of a world that is being transformed by the way we lived transformed lives. That's the reason we gather here today. That's the reason we gather here every Sunday, because Christ is risen. Christ is risen in our outreach to the community. Christ is risen when we comfort one another in the face of illness and death. Christ is risen when we raise our children together. Risen as we strive to care for the environment. Risen as we seek peace and justice in the world. Christ is risen as we struggle to live authentically in the manner that Jesus lived. Risen in everything we share. Risen in everything we give. Risen in everything we do. For everything in our lives, individually and corporately, are meant to be proclamations and reflections of a resurrection life. So, let me remind you of the words of the poet Wendell Berry, who said, "Practice resurrection. Every day, do something that does not compute. Love the Lord, love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who doesn't deserve it. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest, that you will not live to see the harvest. And call that profit. Prophesy such returns. Put your faith in the 2 inches of humus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Expect the end of the world and laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, even though you've considered all the facts. Practice resurrection. Practice it in your living, in your giving, in your dying. Practice it today. Practice it tomorrow. Practice it always. Amen.